It is interesting that my text this morning, which was not planned, is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12. When I met with the deacons this week and I spoke with Ken on the phone afterwards and told him what my text was, it was amazing that we should be talking of love, because love is what we're basing our Christian fellowship on. You will recall that during the 1960s, one of the things that the church was accused of was not having any love. Young people accused their parents of being hypocrites. This is what they said. And love became the watchword of the hippies, of the Jesus people during the 1960s. And something strange took place during the 1970s. Because of reacting to what was said about the church in 1960, the church became introspective in 1970. It started to look upon itself. It started to deal with how it was perceived, and the church became ingrown. Books started to be written about self-love, about loving one another, and somehow we have tried to do this in a way that has not worked. For can you think of a time when the world enjoyed so many Christian programs, so many Christian books, so many Christian coffee hours, and yet, my friends, we still lack the impact upon the world which Jesus Christ said should be the impact that the love of Christians should have upon the world? Please listen then, as we look at our text this morning and see how we can become a part of a life-changing experience as we allow the love of God to penetrate our entire being. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now as to the love for and of the brethren, and we can say sisters as well, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it, or that is love, toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business and to work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you may behave properly toward outsiders or those who are not Christians, and not be in any need. In other words, we will not be lacking in their view of us when we walk in love. Time will not allow me to go into everything, so I will just delve right into the text. In this text, there are three, if you please, spiritual movements in the life of the believer as far as love is concerned. You will agree with me. We had a little bird in our house. Timmy was his name. And we all loved Timmy. And I will never forget the time Timmy died. I heard a screech from the basement. I ran down. I was getting ready for bed. And I ran down to see what had happened. My wife isn't here this morning. So you don't tell her I say this, because she said I usually take time to talk about her when she's not there. And somehow she gets the message. From upstairs, I ran into my room and I said, "What's wrong?" And she was crying. She said, "Timmy is dead. Timmy is dead." I said to myself, "Give me a break. You don't cry that way about a bird." And then you know what? After we moved Timmy's body, and we placed it where it belonged, I would go downstairs and the bird cage would be empty, and there would be a sense of sadness. There was no more Timmy talking and chirping and enjoying. But my friends, you know what? When my wife tells me she loves me, she doesn't mean she loves me as she loved Timmy. There's a different love altogether. In fact, I hope so. You see, the love we have for things, animals, it's not the same love we have for people. True Christian love differs from every other kind of love in the world. The Bible speaks of three kinds of love. There is divine love or agape. There is what is known as friendship love. We get our word Philadelphia from that Greek word. We get our word philanthropist from that word. We get our word, if you please, phileo, the foundation of that word. The Bible implies another kind of love, but it never speaks about it. And the word is eros. It is the word which speaks of a love between a husband and a wife. And St. Paul is talking about sanctification. And last week we looked at sanctification as dealing with the avoidance of sexual immorality. This week we look at sanctification as it has to do with our daily living upon the face of the earth. When I first became a Christian, there was a little statement that was made by Christians. Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Have you ever heard that? Friends, don't believe it. Because if I read my text correctly, the people who are the most profitable people on earth are people who are heavenly minded. You will see what I mean in a moment. Consider with me, first of all, the ground for Christian love. What is Christian love based on? You and I are not born with it. We cannot purchase it. We cannot, if you please, do anything in order that we might experience this kind of love of which we're speaking about. One of my planning for the year is to go through 1 Corinthians 13 with you verse by verse. So I won't give you everything about love this morning. But consider first of all, my friends, that the ground for Christian love is, first of all, Christian love is divinely imparted. Christian love is divinely imparted. St. Paul said to the Thessalonians, you yourselves are taught by God that you should love one another. Imagine having God as a teacher. Having God as the instructor of what my life is supposed to be. Now I'm going to tell you, I have had some wonderful instructors in my time. But one instructor stands out in my mind. T.S. Rendell, a Welsh man. Where else would he come from but a Welsh man? A deep lover of books, a deep lover of the Word of God, a deep lover of God. And he stands out in my mind. He has affected me, and I've told him that. I told him when I met him some time ago, and we meet once or twice a year, I said, I will never forget what you have done for my life. You have affected me. And my friends, the reason for asking that is to ask you this. Have you been affected by God since you received Christ as Savior? That's what the word taught means. It means that a relationship has been established that has resulted in something. And please turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And you will have to take these down. You'll have to go home and read them, because I will not do an exposition on them today. Paul begins Romans chapter 5 by dealing with our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. That's what we need in our world. Peace with God. And we will know peace with man. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have an introduction by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we exalt in the glory, in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is divinely imparted. When you and I became Christian, friends, when at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burden of our hearts rolled away, God began an operation of actually diffusing into your life and mine His own love. He didn't improve my love for my parents. He gave me a love that was greater. He didn't improve my love for my brother and my sisters. He gave me a love that was greater. It was His love. It was a unique love. Because you see, my friends, the scripture says, love is from God. Love is of God. God is love. It cannot be said of you and of me that we are love. We love when it satisfies us, when it's right for us to do so. We love when things are going my way. You know Roger Hemingway? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I have a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. That's the kind of love we have. But God's love, my friends, you know, it brings to my mind an experience I had. Several years ago, I was painting, and I hate painting. I literally do. I just can't stand it. I don't know why. And I was painting a picnic table. And my daughter, who was a little girl at that time, said, "Daddy, can I help you?" And I said, "No, you can't." You know why I didn't want her to help me? She was going to spill the paint, and I had to clean it up afterwards. That's the reason. And immediately I was convicted in my heart. Listen, friends. God made us and loves us even though He knew we were going to blow it. He knew you and I would fail. He knew we would fall. And that did not change His love. That's the divine love that God has imparted to every Christian. So, my friends, may I say to you this morning, there is not a person that a Christian cannot love. There are persons that Christians will not love. There is not a person that a Christian cannot love. For God showed His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us when we were yet His enemies. Divine love. It is not an improvement of my human love. It is a love that really replaces that love. But quickly, not only is it divinely imparted, it is divinely identified. And I will be brief right here. It is, the word that is used is not phileo, it is not eros, it is agape. It is that love, my friends, which the Lord Jesus looked into the face of His disciples and He said to them, "You have heard that they have said, love your friends and hate your enemies." But listen to Jesus. "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you." That's the identification of God's love. And that is why I titled this message this morning, Proving God's Existence. Because the scripture teaches, my friends, that the way that men will know that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, the way that men and women, boys and girls will know that God exists, even though no man had seen God at any time, when we come into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, God's divine love is poured in our hearts, and what we display is not human, but divine love. That's how they will know. What a tremendous responsibility. Love your enemies. St. Paul was responsible for driving Philip out of Jerusalem. Later on, St. Paul became a Christian. And he's on the run. And you know where he found refuge? He found refuge in Philip's house. The love of God. How rich, how deep, how marvelous and strong. The ground for Christian love, it is divinely imparted, it is distinctly identified. When we talk about love, my friends, as Christians, we're not talking about human love. We're talking about a love that can only be said as being in the possession of God. Quickly, the goal of Christian love. the goal of Christian love.
Is God's love simply something I keep to myself? Is God's love something that is exclusively individualistic? No, friends. Listen to what our text says. As Paul talked with the Thessalonians, he said to them, "You have been taught by God to love one another."
One of the phrases that I like, I've put in the computer of my mind. Oh, to live with saints above, that will be glory. But to live with some saints below, that's another story. That was said in the 60s. To live with saints below. But listen, friends. There is no way that a Christian can walk with God, abide in Christ, taught by God, and not love one another. It is impossible. It is a contradiction. God is love, and we are taught by God to love one another. I took voice lessons in the first college I attended. And one day I was singing in a place far away from my college campus. And after I was finished singing, someone walked up to me and said, "Were you taught by Gordon Head, who was my teacher?" I said, "Yes, I was." "Why?" "I could hear him in your voice." I could hear him. I had no idea that I sounded like Gordon Head. A tremendously beautiful voice, but he was my teacher. He showed me the techniques of singing, how to use my voice, how to articulate properly, how to present myself. One thing I should tell him when I see him again, if I see him, is that I blew it Christmas cantata and I had to make up words. I don't know what he's going to say to me for that. I don't know what he'll tell me for that. He might say, "You're truly professional now." Two things, my friends, about the goal of Christian love. First of all, Christian love is intended to minister to one another. Time is gone. Let me just quickly give you the text. It is intended to minister to one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, and I will simply read it. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live the life of love through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, to satisfy the wrath of God on our behalf. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." That's the whole intention of God's teaching us. In his love, we learn that the heart of God's love is the other person. The other person. You know, as I was thinking of this, you know what came to my mind, friends? Have you ever noticed that all through the earthly life of Christ, he needed his disciples? As our Lord was on his way to Gethsemane, he went to Peter and James and John and he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Come with me and pray." Christ, in his earthly life, needed the support of the disciples. How can we live less than he did? If he needed his disciples, my friends, we need one another. We need Christian fellowship. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer wrote, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. It is essential." I was talking to someone recently and I said to them, "You know, Christian love is like a fireplace. If you put all the pieces of firewood together, they burn and they give heat. But you take one piece and put it by itself, you know what happens? It dies. It dies." The one another love. But my friends, God says not only is it to minister to others, and I'm praying here, please forgive me. We are maturing before others in Christian love. Listen to St. Paul. "You love those in Macedonia, but I implore you
that you go beyond that. There's a world out there that needs to see this love. There's a world out there that needs to experience this love. There's a world out there that's desperately in need of a demonstration of a love that is different than theirs. And that's the love of God, that you love beyond the borders of your own company. Christian love, my friends, is impartial love. Oh, I could say so much about that. The greatness of Christian love is it affects our conduct. It affects our conduct. Verses 11 and 12. In verse 12, the apostle says this: make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business. Being interpreted, don't be a busybody. That's what it means, literally. St. Paul, you see what it was talking about there? In the old days when this was written, people used to waste their time in politics. Nothing has changed, has it? They used to waste their time going to the marketplace and talking politics all day long, some to the exclusion of doing their work. If we apply this, friends, you know what this could mean to me? In our class we were talking about this morning. Don't spend your time waiting for the latest gossip, and don't spend your time giving the latest gossip. One of the things, I don't do it, I've never done it, and I hope I never waste the Lord's money, and I hope I don't offend anyone by saying it. You know, I take a little time every time I go to the checkout counters to see the latest gossips. And I can't imagine that people spend their money to buy those things. But they do, because there's a curiosity in the human heart to know what's dirty about the other life. When God's love comes in, there is a desire in the redeemed heart to know and to give what's good for the human life. Love one another. Don't spend your time tearing people down. Love doesn't do that. Love spends its time building up, caring, reaching out, supporting, sacrificing, whatever the other needs. God's love is there to provide. And my dear friends, I trust that as we have our under shepherd's ministry, whatever needs this congregation has, no hour will be too late, no sacrifice will be too great for this pastor, these pastors, this congregation to make for one another, so that the world might know that God exists because he lives in us.